Make a better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's Talk, like I'm doing now, and Shoe, as on your feet.com.
PHPBB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, check out techpodcasts.com.
Welcome to PHPBB Weekly, episode number 68. Today is Saturday, June 28th, 2008. I am your co-host today, David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life on the boards. Our other co-host, Douglas Bell, is currently out. I don't even remember what exactly he's doing. Oh, yes, he is on a trip to do some sort of political thing, or mock political thing, I think. So anyway, we'll wish him luck on that today. But I'm alone, but not completely alone. I have with me two special guests. I have Paul from the modifications team and Ashley Pinner from the support team. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hi, David.
So this is especially special for us now. Hopefully the quality will be quite a bit better than previously. I just got Skype out to be able to Skype conference call, and I've been kind of needing to get it for a while, but haven't really had the motivation to do it until today. So I finally did get that. So yay, if everything sounds better on my end at least, which means it will be recorded well. So, get a couple things out of the way. First of all, PHPBB Weekly is not affiliated with PHPBB.com or the PHPBB teams, even though we have PHPBB.com team members as guests. You can to call in, call 724-444-7444, Talkcast ID, or what they call a show ID now is 12418. You can also connect with your zip phone. And it's a live participation podcast, so we encourage listeners to participate live during the show and to call in and ask questions and discuss topics with us on the show. Our sponsor is GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is basically an application that you can use that allows you to conference with several other people anywhere in the world, and it allows them to see your computer and do something on your computer on their screen. They see it on their screen without them having to travel to in person to a location to actually meet with you. So, and actually our company has used this a couple times. It's pretty nice to use, because especially when you're doing different sales presentations, for example, is what we use it for. You don't have to go travel to a specific location if you're not able to, and they want to just basically see your online presentation. So that's kind of nice. You can try GoToMeeting for free right now for 30 days. If you go to www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts for the free trial. So I encourage you to do that. All right. A couple of topics today we want to discuss, mainly the difference between purging the cache and purging template caches. When people say, "Did you purge your cache?" this is what we mean. Ashley, this is probably a common support question. Do you want to answer that?
Well, it comes to the point where people change configuration settings, and that normally updates the cache, as per expected. But then you get the kind of people who like to change settings or need to change settings in the database. We always say don't do that, and this is probably the reason why. You then have stale caches, and the problem comes that what's in the cache is read to save time, and it's not the most up-to-date and accurate data. So that creates problems.
So purging the cache is obviously done from the administration control panel right on the front page when somebody says, "Oh, hey, did you try purging the cache?" That's where it's located. But I've seen many mods which, obviously make some modifications to the template file. And when that happens, you're going to have to purge the template cache. So it's a lot of times, you know, a user who's installed a mod will go on and say, hey, it's not showing up. I'm not seeing any changes or differences or anything. And the mod author will say, well, did you purge the template cache? And the user will go back into the administration control panel and click the purge cache button, which is not the template cache. This purge cache button does not purge the template cache. So what they actually mean is that you go to the styles tab and you go to the templates menu and you click refresh on the style that you added the changes to. In the ACP. No. Purge cache does not purge the template. It does not purge the template files or the template cache. Neothermic was just poking me about that. I know, I've tried it. It does not. It's not completed.
And if you want to have it purged when you made a change to the template file, you can also enable a load still templates, and that's under the load tab of the ACP. And then when you make a change, it will also be updated directly.
Right. Now, although I could be wrong about that in the case of where you don't have it in your database, because there are some, specifically PostServer, I guess one says, I just tested and purge cache does purge the template cache for me, but is that on SubSilver 2 or ProSilver?
In ProSilver, it doesn't purge the cache of the template cache with the button in the ACP directly, but with SubSilver 2, it does.
Okay, that would explain it. So, yeah, yep. With SubSilver 2, it, I believe that, does that hold it in the database?
Oh, no, so 2 don't hold it in the database. SubSilver, Silver, but in the database, SubSilver 2 holds it in the cache directory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, that's why we get. I've myself gotten quite a few support inquiries on this regarding several mods, and they're like, hey, it's not showing up. We'll go purge the template cache. They go purge the template cache as opposed to just the regular cache. But the reason I don't say template cache because people will get that confused with the cache button, and so I tell them, you know, go refresh your templates because that really can't be confused with the cache. And so they'll go into the Styles tab, refresh a template or a theme, and then that's where they actually purge the or refresh the template or theme cache. Now, I was speaking with Brad Baker at Joomla the other day, and he was trying to make some changes to their sandbox site for Joomla.org, and he made some CSS changes, clicked refresh, and it wiped all his changes. And he was wondering why that was. Well, the reason that was because he was making the changes to the CSS within the administration control panel. So it was saving his changes to the database instead of to the files. So when he went to refresh, the refresh button, what it does is it wipes the database and grabs the files. It basically refreshes the theme from the files. So any changes that were made via the ACP no longer... any changes that were made from the ACP in the theme tab were no longer saved because it completely wipes them. So that's why I encourage when... Paul, I think you're in a time loop. I think you might need to restart your router or something. That sounded pretty funny. I'm not sure I understood a word of that, actually.
There were words, there were sentences, but they were all mixed up. That was unique.
Jeff in the chat room said that Paul needs to lay off the coffee a bit.
Ooh, what an idea. or maybe needs to have more. These things are variable sometimes.
Not sure where you went now. Are you there, Paul?
I am ID.
Gets it. That is annoying.
I heard time's not.
Paul, make sure that Skype is the only internet application running right now, so that you save your bandwidth just for Skype.
You can leave RC open, but yeah.
See.
We're getting his packets three times.
Yeah, we are. That's interesting.
Is it now better?
Yes.
Yes. What did you do?
Yes.
Yes.
I closed WinSCP. It was using 100% CPU.
Oh, good grief.
Ah.
Wow. Okay. That was really something.
Do you want to repeat what you said? Because I didn't know anybody got that.
When you edit the files in the ACP, it also tries to save it in the file system, but that only works when it's correctly writable. And if it isn't, it only saves it in the database.
Right. So the template directory is usually not writable.
Yep.
On most systems, on most setups, it's usually not writable, of course, unless you actually chmod it to like 7.7.6 or something.
Or you could chown it to the Apache process.
Well, no, because it doesn't. When it actually writes, it doesn't use the Apache process. It uses the web process. Well, actually, no. That is what you meant.
Yes.
Depends. Say that again, Paul.
It depends on the settings of the server.
Right. Yeah. So yes, that's correct. I hadn't thought of that before, but that's a good idea. To sum it up, basically, template refreshes or template caches are in the styles tab, and that also goes with theme refreshes. A lot of mods that modify CSS files are going to be refreshed through there, but remember, if you've changed anything or added any new styles in through the ACP, you're going to have to save those changes if PHP3 cannot write back to your files. So just an important note, if you changed anything, you will lose those changes by refreshing. Okay.
Let's hopefully cleared up confusion about the caches.
Yes, hopefully that does, because I've seen quite a few support requests, probably the most of that than any other one, except the ACP add user mod that I have. It, for some reason, when people try and install that mod, they manage to screw up their modules not every single time. About 1 in 10 people manage to do it, which is a really high percentage. And I'm not sure how they managed to do that. I've never been able to duplicate it. I probably should really take some time to look into it, but I never have the time. But somehow, when they're trying to install the module, they end up messing up their modules in such a way that they're no longer able to access the administration control panel modules. It's the weirdest thing.
So if you want to help Pi with Life out, go install his modification and see if you get it mistake.
Yeah, except everybody who's probably going to help me out is going to know exactly how to do it and probably won't have that problem.
Well, the best idea then is once you get a user with that problem, if you can ask them for a copy of their modules config in the database.
You know what? I think there is a user on phpv.com in the support topic, on the support topic, that just had that problem. Except theirs is a little different, but it's still similar. So that probably is a good time to track that down.
I've seen the same problem with the forum stable, and I've seen it now a few times, but I still can't figure out why it is completely weird. And it's something with the left and right ID that isn't correctly.
Yeah, something
that I know.
I know. I think X-Reaction actually built a script to be able to resync those.
I have a script that is from the core error. Directly, but it's commented out because it didn't give weird results in some cases.
I like how Paul's internet catches up.
Mm.
Paul, do you mind repeating that a moment? Ah, that's true. Okay, so hopefully I'm hoping to take the opportunity to actually track that down and see what the deal is, but I've vowed since then to any mod that I install via the via a control panel, I'm going to have a script that auto-installs it instead of relying on the user to basically install it by hand through the module management. And then they can move it around after it's installed, but that's actually something that Paul and I are going to be working on, plan to work on. Mm.
I am going to work on in it in my holiday.
Oh, good. That will be good.
You have a holiday, but you're going to be working on PHP BB-related stuff.
Mostly, yes. I also have a 6 or 7 weeks holiday.
Do you ever take out the holiday to get away from everything, or do you still...
Yes, he does that on Thursday nights when he goes plays table tennis with his girlfriend.
Okay.
Isn't that true? Yeah, I'm right, aren't I?
Okay, I... Next trip, please.
All right, so moving on. I was reading an article the other day on from Microsoft. They had released a product that gave ASP programmers the ability to search through their code and find SQL injections. Of course, I didn't actually download the program and try it. It looked like it was a Windows Vista program, so I've kind of stayed away from that.
See, I know.
Well, I posted it in IRC, but we talk so much in IRC, I'd be a big shock if I can actually find it. But anyway, it talked about the some nearly 500,000 sites. I'm not talking about 5,000 or 500, I'm talking about, and not 50,000, 500,000 sites that have been hacked using an SQL injection. And these are ASP sites, mostly Microsoft. A lot of people and news organizations immediately blamed Microsoft for the string of hacked sites. And so Microsoft had a team that looked into it, and they denied any connection to it, and the fact that they couldn't actually release any patches because it was SQL injections done by the coders who integrated their software, the Microsoft software. So what Microsoft did is they released, they built a piece of software that basically allowed the programmers and developers of these sites to look through their own code to find these SQL injections. Now, one thing I find interesting about SQL injections is the fact that for a lot of programmers, this is in personal experience mostly. A lot of programmers, when they're programming sites and softwares and stuff like that, one of the last things on their mind, and I do mean the last, is security. It is really shocking to see for someone who, I guess just being on the PHPBB teams, we have such a high regard for security because of the security problems we had back in 2005 with PHPBB 2. That, you know, it's kind of like, this really needs to be paid attention to. But in my professional experience with programmers, they don't think about security when they're programming. It's kind of one of the last things they think about. And a lot of it has to do with the deadlines.
If they know already what they are talking of, what security is, you also see a lot of times that they don't know what security is.
Right. They may be thinking, okay, I'm going to program secure, but they don't really understand some of the things to look for. And really, once you understand it, it's not that difficult, but you have to understand it first. And it was kind of interesting. I had a discussion with somebody on a PHP site about this. And, they were talking about the different ways to make sure that your code is secure, and that's by using, MySQL underscore realist underscore escape underscore string function. But... for example, this particular function basically keeps strings from, you know, allowing SQL injections into an SQL query. But the problem that we had with this particular user is that they were using it for strings, integers, floats, everything. Everything that went into the database used this function, which was kind of interesting because in preventing SQL injection, the main thing that you want to look for the main thing that you want to do is validate all user input or all possible user input. You never trust user input. And this goes for anything. Even if you didn't insert code into a database or do SQL queries, you never, ever, ever trust user input. And this includes...
It goes a bit further than that, actually. It's the thing that people should think about is never trust anything client-side, because there are some things which people assume cannot be edited by the user, but can be.
Take the PHP underscore self variable from the server array.
Mm.
The server
even more than that. I mean, you can't trust things like any HTTP headers that are easy to fake. X484 is a great example of one. It's difficult to trust. In fact, it's almost impossible to trust the user's browser string.
Mm-hmm. You never trust the browser string.
Mm. And even mundane things like the HTTP accept header, you can't trust that, for example. If you do any processing on that, you've got to be very, very careful, because it'd be very easy for someone to write something that is, you know, legal enough to pass to your web servers, but it would break your application. So,
and you're right. I think a lot of people there, you know, when they're using a server variable, for example, and what I mean by server variable is the server array, global variable, and they're assuming that all the variables within there are server-generated, but they're not. A lot of them can be manipulated by the user and by the client side. So whenever that is possible, and that includes a server array for many variables, some are not, some are. Whenever that is possible, you've got to be able to filter that or sanitize that variable before you do anything with it. And I mean anything with it. It should always be sanitized right away. And that's why PHPBB3 provides the request var function. The strings, although they do not prevent SQL injection because they're basically accepting any string that's given to them, they're, when you set the default type to an integer, or float, or bool, when you set it to those, you are only allowing an integer, which means, so like if somebody types in a long string, it will only take it if it's strictly integer. So those are safe to put in the database when you force variable type to int. Those are safe. And then for escaping, PHPB3 has a function called SQL underscore escape that's part of the debal that you should use on strings that are user input. Now, when using the SQL build array or the SQL build query, that automatically, as long as you use an array there, that automatically sanitizes strings from the array. So you don't actually have to use SQL underscore escape in that particular array. So that's kind of nice. But otherwise, for queries, direct queries, you've got to be able to sanitize everything. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is how do you find SQL injections? Because the first step, obviously, is to recognize them when you come across them. So you don't just, you know, kind of program with dumb hope. Like I was searching through the paste bin one day. Just kind of like, you know, one of those random things that we do. So I want to see some of the code that people have posted on Pastebin. So I've started scrolling through there, and I would say out of all the SQL-related code, any code that had to do with SQL-related queries or anything like that, 4 out of 5 of those scripts contained SQL injections. That's a very, very high percentage.
That is actually...
And I would say the other 1 out of 5, just they weren't SQL injections, basically just because of dumb luck. you know, some weird thing in there that basically kept it from being an SQL injection, or where the it was not user data being used in the database interaction. But the 4 out of 5, they contained SQL injection because they just took like a post or a get var or a request var and they stuck it straight into the database query. And that is absolutely the worst thing that you can do. And that is the reason why over 500,000 sites have been hacked from SQL injections since January of 2008. That is a lot of sites.
Indeed, indeed.
So I think it's very, very important that programmers, mod authors, anybody that deals with code, programs sites in any way needs to be familiar with the various types of basic security things, and especially SQL injections. That's probably the number one. I would say it's probably the number one way that sites get hacked. That's probably the easiest way that a site would get hacked. Obviously, there's other ways, XSS, which is cross-site scripting, cross-site request forgeries. There's different ways that sites can get hacked, but SQL injection is the most basic to hack, and it's also the most basic to prevent. So it's important that you do a little research on it, find out what it is, how it works, and how to prevent it. And once you're aware of that, once you have that knowledge, I think when you're programming, you're going to, you know, you're going to have that knowledge in your head, and you're going to make sure that the scripts that you make do not contain SQL injection. So very important to learn and become familiar with, I would say. Do you guys have anything to add on that?
No, not really. It's basically really important.
And I think I've seen a lot of code posted, especially in the mod authors discussion, where people say, you know, how can I get a little help on this piece of code? And we'll look at the code and you go, whoa, that contains an SQL injection. And so we try and take the opportunity to educate mod authors on some of those things. And, anytime that there is a chance that that we can help mod authors prevent that sort of thing, we'll try and do that, of course. But we can't catch everything, so it's also up to the mod authors to try and pay attention and learn that stuff as well. Neothermic, you were saying something and I interrupted you.
I don't think I was saying anything, actually. I think you covered it pretty much, so I'm happy.
All right. Any other security-related topic you want to discuss before we move on?
Not that I can think of, really. Everything's been really, really quiet, which is either a really, really good thing or a really, really bad thing. It depends on your point of view.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good thing, because if it's not quiet, then something's wrong. You know, because people are going to, if there's a hacking problem, people are having hack sites or whatever, we're going to hear about it one way or another. People will always post a link or say, hey, what's this, or post something in the security tracker or the incident tracker, which they always should. If you have a hot site that's hacked, you post in the incident tracker on phpbb.com. If you think you might have found a security vulnerability in PHPBB 3, you would post that in the security tracker on phpbb.com.
Yep.
Okay, my hay fever is really getting to me today.
Same here. I'm just sort of... Oh.
I'm horribly allergic to grass.
I have the same problem with grass. So.
Really? Yes. I found out that sailing on the ocean, I did not have any allergy at all. So the good news is I'm not allergic to the ocean. A user asked in the chat room if we talk about integration in here, like, for example, PHPBB into WordPress, and I'll give a few other examples, PHPBB into Joomla or another CMS type, Drupal, for example, MediaWiki, and actually a MediaWiki integration is something that I've been wanting to try within the next couple of weeks.
There is actually a Admikia Wiki iteration, but it isn't really perfect. And I'm personally busy for one of my personal sites is writing one.
So. Oh, really?
Yep.
That's good. And I know there are some limitations to that particular integration because of the way MediaWiki handles, I guess, logins and user data and stuff that's different from the way PHP3 handles it. And though I know there are some WordPress... Actually, let me do a quick search on it.
WordPress integration, yes.
Yeah, I know there are, for the major things, you know, you have Coppermine galleries or other types of galleries that have integrations with PHP3, WordPress integration, Drupal integration, and of course the well-discussed, well-known Joomla bridge called RockBridge, which is a bridge between the CMS Joomla product and... that one we've been a little bit more involved with because we've been more involved with the Joomla project itself. So, but actually, okay, so let's see. WordPress on PHP 3 bridge, because you would, when you're searching for an integration for a specific product that you have and you want to see if, if you want to see if that particular integration exists, you want to search for your product name, PHP3, and the word bridge, and you usually come up with quite a few results. In fact, there's several bridges for PHP2 between WordPress, and but I think there is also a 2.5 bridge to PHP3, and the best thing to do, again, would be to search on that. Because we're not going to be completely familiar with every bit of integration, but because of the hook system in PHP3 and also the way that lots of different products integrate, the best thing to do is really search for it. Usually those third parties like Drupal may release a plugin from themselves. Joomla, for example, has released a bridge that integrates with PHP3. So, and then you can also search the mod forums on phpv.com, which has quite a few bridges and integration and even just how-tos, how to integrate this product with another product. MediaWiki, I know that they have on one of their talk pages how to integrate phpv3 with Joomla. I haven't looked at that since beta 3, though, so it's been quite a long time. But I know there's been quite a few people that have done it, so I know it's possible. And if they've done it before, you should be able to do it too.
Be careful. There are also integrations that can be insecure. I know from MediaWiki that there is one pretty insecure version of the integration.
I did not know that. How does that work? What's the security
vulnerability? SQL injection.
In the bridge itself?
Yep.
Wow. So, that's all, another thing, actually, regarding security that I want to discuss was when you are inserting other mods, if they have not been validated by phpv.com, first of all, we validate mods. We go through and check for security vulnerabilities in all mods. That's why it's really important if you do not read code, that's really the best place to install mods from. You can download mods from any other site that you want, but you just got to be aware that they are not... validated by the PHP teams, and therefore you're risking installing something that could be potentially vulnerable in the area of security. And basically, as soon as the world finds out that a particular software is vulnerable, you'll have all kinds of hackers just mass searching Google for boards that have this particular software installed, and then they'll just exploit it. So once something is exploited, we start seeing it pop up all over the place. So that's why it's very important that, first of all, you download mods from phpv.com mod database, not the mods in development, not mod requests, not, you know, you don't just go installing any script you found or making any change that you found. You need to install it from the mod database. Now, obviously, if you are a more experienced coder, you are probably more familiar with the various things that you need to watch out for. And something that you can do and something that I do is, you know, I'm not afraid to install in-development mods. I'm not afraid to install mods that are not in the mod database because I will install the mods by hand, number one. So I get a chance to look at all the code within the mod and see if there are any security vulnerabilities that I need to be aware of as I'm installing it. And then the other thing, too, is I can look at the code as I'm installing it and see if there's any optimization issues, because it's kind of interesting. A lot of mods, when they're built, they're not really – they're building it on a test site, okay, which probably has only themselves if it's localhost, but maybe a few dozen users at most. And so you don't have it really tested on sites that are really big, like Joomla.org, phpbb.com, even Star Trek Guide, which, you know, when something is uses a lot of queries, we notice it right away because it could kick up the database load dramatically. And I'll give an example. Inserting queries into a loop is a really bad idea. And this is more recent that we've dealt with when somebody wanted to display the number of viewers visiting a particular forum. And so on that page where it grabs all the forum information and goes through the loop and assigns it to the template and whatnot, they inserted an SQL query in there to count the number of visitors visiting that particular forum. Well, now what you have when you have, let's say you have 10, or not 10, let's say you have 50 forums on the index page. Well, guess what? You're going to increase your total SQL query count by 50. And that's per page load. That's per user. So let's say you have 10 users in an hour. You're going to have 500 extra queries run per hour. But that's for a small board.
David, that's 500 queries an hour. I manage a server that has 26 queries a second.
Okay, so you kind of looped there for a minute. Say again.
I have a server that runs 26 of 60 queries a second. So 500 queries isn't seen at...
Well, right, but 10, well, just think about this. It's 500 queries extra per hour, okay? So, and that's based on 10 users an hour, which is a small board. That's not really a big deal for a small board. But let's say you have a larger board, like we get, we'll get somewhere between 200 and 400 users per hour. And when that happens, all of a sudden, your query count jumps astronomically, which can affect the database dramatically. And it doesn't have to be that many queries extra. It doesn't have to be 50 queries extra per page load. It can be... my 500 query count, that's based on 10 page loads per hour. Not 10 users. That's 10 page loads per hour on the index page. So you could see how it dramatically affects larger boards. The larger board you get, the more it's going to affect it. So the best thing to do is to make sure that those queries are not being run within the loop itself, but they're being run outside of the loop. And there's various ways to do it. And if you have questions on how to do it, best thing to do is ask in the mod writers discussion forum, where we will point you in the right direction.
Okay, I have something else. I just got the information, Zizilla, that the first Betis has been arrived by the new owners.
Oh, the first birdie?
Yep.
Oh, wow, that's nice. So, and for those that don't know, actually, this is one piece of news information that we didn't have before, or didn't think of before.
I just heard it 30 minutes ago, so.
Yeah, that bit of information is that the birdies are now shipping.
Yes, and the first one has arrived.
So, yes, people should start receiving them any day now. Those who placed orders first, obviously, will get the birdies first. But if you've not purchased a birdie yet, you can do that from phbbb.com/shop. And you can view the new birdies, the new 3.0 birdies. And you can get yourself one. They are a very popular item, I would say. All right. Let's see. Neothermic stepped out for a moment, and he is not back. So we'll continue on without him. Let's go on to the mod of the week, and this actually is pretty related to... Ah, there you are.
Yes.
We were just catching you up on what we were just discussed. We discussed the recent bit of code that we found in the mod... was mod requests, where somebody had basically put a query into the a loop, okay, which was the form. Okay, so it's basically if you had 50 forms on the index page.
Yeah, it's 500 for 10 people.
Yeah, 10 page loads.
Yeah. That's going to be painful.
For a larger board, definitely painful.
I had to step away because I went into a sneezing fit.
I'll have to go take some vitamins to get rid of some of these allergic reactions. Ashley, do you have much experience with that kind of code, or did you want to add anything to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it sort of appears that some people forget that you can actually do a single query to update multiple rows in the database by a vertical amount. It's sort of... intermediate SQL, but it's straightforward to do. It's very easy to do, and as David said, if you need help on that kind of thing, jump into the
mod writers discussion. Yeah,
mod writers discussion. There we go. He has renamed your form so often.
You can also go on the IRC channel #PHPBB of
hash.
Get my tongue tied. Hash if you're in England. PHPBB-mod #, if you're in the US and other parts of the world, PHPBB-mod IRC channel on Freenode, and you can always ask on there, and a mod team member will come along to answer your question.
Most times to respond or more with team members.
Mm-hmm. And actually, here's something interesting. One of my mods called the Advanced, was it? What's it called? I forget the name of it. It's a stats mod. The stats mod. And it queries the number of users who are brand new within the last 24 hours, the new topics within the last 24 hours, and the new posts within the last 24 hours, and it counts them. This is based on, obviously, the post time for posts, for the number of posts, the topic time for the number of topics, and the user registration for the number of new users. One thing that I found out after a user came who had a fairly large board, he was like, this slows my board down from less than 1 second load time to, I think it was like 12 or 15 seconds load time. I'm like, wow, this can't possibly be this mod. I'm always thinking of the most optimized way to do a query, so you technically can't optimize that query anymore. Well, I was wrong. After looking at it some more and thinking about how that query was running and the fact that it was running on the post time and the topic time are non-indexed columns. So if you do a where clause on a non-indexed column, it's going to cause a pretty high load if you're searching through a lot of records. So, and that his board had over a million posts. So it had to search through over a million records to find the number of new posts. So that's why it was taking over 12, 15 seconds to even do that one query. So what we did was we changed it to be after a certain post ID, and then a post ID that we knew was within the last 3 or 4 days, and then checked for the last in the 24 hours. And so that got that query down to probably a hundredth of a second. So it went from 12 seconds to a few hundredths of a second just by making a little optimization change on that one query. And that made a huge difference. I love the dead silence.
He was talking, so.
Yeah. That means people are paying attention to you.
Yes.
All right.
Well, you were talking. I can code, so.
While we're talking on PHPB Weekly, Paul is coding.
It's something else as validating or so.
That's funny. All right. Oh, yes. Josh wanted to remind me to slap Douglas with Josh's signature. And you're probably wondering right about now, what on earth does Josh's signature contain? Did you guys notice?
I'm not sure. Looking.
Go look and tell me when you find it. It's kind of funny. Okay, so to give you a little, what's going on?
Okay, basically, I understand. It's,
yeah, you get it now.
Yes, it's not true.
I don't know. It's a debate. It's a debate right now. Okay, basically, Douglas said that we don't have a life. We don't have a real life. A PHPBB team member specifically don't have a life. That's actually true.
Remember Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
What about that Thursday?
Explains that's, everything.
You only that have a life on everything. Thursday.
You know, I just heard that as the word wife rather than life.
So, a Jelly Donut signature says, Douglas said that PHPB team members don't have a life. It said something like that. I'm not reading it at the moment. And we are proving him wrong.
It is this. It's Douglas said that Butcom team members could not have a social life. We are proving otherwise with a link to London Invasion.
Yes. But London Invasion does not mean that we actually have a social life. London Invasion just means that we're doing more PHPBB stuff.
We're socializing while doing more.
Yeah, socializing while doing PHPBB stuff. And what are we going to do while we're there? We're probably going to talk about things like spam and security and coding.
Excellent.
For those that don't know, there is an itinerary posted on London Invasion, about London Invasion. So basically the topics that will be discussed, and there are some topics that will be very beneficial to the normal non-coding user, because I know that there will be users there who are going to ask, why are you going to talk about coding? We're not interested in coding. We are normal users. It will be... London Invasion is not meant to like go over the heads of every person who's there, so it will relate to everybody. And so anyway, the link will be posted in the – or it's posted in the chat room. Neothermic posted in the chat room. It will be also posted in the show notes, the itinerary for London Invasion. And actually, we discussed it extensively last week, so I won't go into it today, but – if you have any suggestions, or if you'd like to submit a proposal for a presentation that you'd like to make, then you can send one of the team members a... Well, actually, the best thing to do really would be to post a request in one of the London Invasion topics, and a team member would request that you PM them details of that presentation, like I did with one user, Noth. So, anyway, we do... I think it would be kind of cool to have some... regular user presentation, or one or two, you know, on London Invasion. That would be kind of neat.
Mm.
Joomla Day had several. They had what they call the product spotlights, and what those are is Joomla sites, Joomla powered sites that run Joomla from people who were in Vancouver. So that was kind of cool. You got to see all kinds of neat things on there. Okay. Any last thoughts before we move on to the modern style of the week? We're going to get Paul a new time machine. His seems broken.
Right.
Or is it? He's stuck in a causality loop. Is it working perfectly?
It might be working perfectly.
David. Something special. I did it.
Okay, I'm not sure if he was doing that on purpose or if he was really in a time loop there.
No.
Paul, I wonder if something's eating up your CPU.
Yeah, check that again. It sounds like he's trying to rap, you know?
Yeah, it does.
It's called Firefox. It is free yet.
That could be it.
Get Flashblock. If it's really causing that much problem, get Flashblock.
And Flash is the, and NoScript.
Well, Flash, I find, is the biggest draw of 100% CPU usage.
Mm-hmm.
It is Flash. And if you get Flashblock, you have to selectively allow things to play that are Flash. To the point where you can, if you wish to watch like YouTube videos, you can enable YouTube to display Flash. But everything else would... No, we're saying to get Flashblock, Paul.
Okay, what is WinSCP?
SCP is secure... it's basically secure copy. You know, CP is the Linux for copy. WinSCP is a Windows client which allows you to do... like FTP over SSH, so nobody can sniff your passwords or anything silly like that. It's very secure. It's just slightly slow, and in Paul's case, it likes to use a lot of CPU usage.
Probably not.
It more crashes sometimes, and then when I upload enlarged, there is.
It likes to eat all of Paul's either CPU and or bandwidth or both.
And most CPU, but what I said before, it was time looping. I didn't work today on any PHPBB stuff.
That's a shock. I don't think a day has gone by where you haven't worked on PHPBB stuff, but you have today.
I didn't work on any PHPBB stuff
today. Nothing. Yes, PHPBB Weekly is PHPBB stuff.
He's not working for that. He's just talking.
He's referring to coding or validating.
I did code something while I was at PHPBB, but for PHPBB.
Paul's dedicated. What can I say? He's going to burn himself out one of these days.
Oh, he's coming to London Vision, so...
Yeah, that's good. I can slap him there.
I say nothing.
I can almost see it now. You know, sort of. Eric's gonna walk in, and Paul's gonna jump up and slap him, and it's gonna like, okay.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah,
like that IRC all over again. Yeah.
Yeah, just like it works on IRC. It's like, don't try that in your life.
I don't think it's a good idea.
No, yeah, definitely not.
I should bring some of those soft foam bats that we can, you know.
That will be fun. That will be fun.
All right. Let's close the show out with the mod of the week. Is called "Purge Cache from Any Page" by El Globo. El Globo.
El Globo. El Globo.
And this particular mod just basically puts a purge cache button at the bottom, in the footer of every page. So when you're doing something and you think the cache needs purged, you could just run down there and click it for fun. Yeah, so an easy way to do it instead of running to the administration control panel to click the purge cache button, which I've had to do often sometimes. And the style of the week is called Day Song by APT92. And this particular style, actually, Paul, you picked it out. Do you want to describe it?
Let me see where I have the link. I have it not in front of me now.
Here, hold on. I'll post it in the chat.
Yes, I have. I should have it here.
There we go. There it is.
Yes.
Okay, so this style appears to be SubSilver 2 based. And it is.
Yes. It is an blue style with a bit of what is it? Purple, and a simple style based on SubSilver 2.
It looks like a baby blue style, basically. Yeah. Sky blue, and
and
not baby blue, sky blue. It's not that light blue. Sky blue.
The footer isn't that nice.
It's not? Repeating.
No, it's repeating at my screen.
Oh, it is. Would you look at that?
Yeah.
I just widened my screen out a little bit and saw that. I kind of like the design, though.
It's a nice design. Footer isn't that nice, but the other parts are pretty nice.
Does the header repeat? Nope. The header's done correctly.
Yes, though.
Okay, so the links for those are in the chat room, and they will also be in the show notes for this episode. I believe we are having an episode next week, but who's to say for sure? If Douglas is back, I know we're having an episode next week, and I think he is. July 5th, Saturday, at the usual time, Douglas should be back. If Douglas is not back, we're probably not going to have another episode because I will be busy. And actually, we're supposed to head up to the mountain today. They're turning on the lifts to the mountain, so you can go up to the top of the mountain and do some sightseeing up there and hiking and stuff. So that should be fun. I haven't seen this particular mountain without snow on it, so that will be especially special. I get to see what we are skiing on.
Underneath all the snow.
Yeah. It's my brother's birthday today, so we're going to... Not Francis. This is Hank the Cowdog for you Star Trek guiders out there who know who Hank the Cowdog is. He's another brother, and everybody probably knew that already, but I know some didn't. Hank the Cowdog's birthday is this... Hank the Cowdog's birthday is this weekend. I know, actually, Ashley had asked me before, hey, when is he going to be ready to join the support team? He's offering support on PHBB3. He's 12 years old.
Which is a bit too young.
Yeah, it is. People didn't know it. They thought he was 30.
Just to give everybody who's listening a perspective on the teams, the average age of a team member is somewhere in the region of 27 years old.
Yeah, that's because of all the 60-year-olds.
Well, it is skewed by the people at the higher end, but the...
What's the median age?
If I could find my data pen, I'd be able to tell you.
So Ashley keeps this database, right? She keeps this database of information from all the team members. So she knows every little thing about them. And if she's wondering something like exactly how old one of us is, she'll run this query to find out to the nearest millionth how old we are in seconds.
Well, milliseconds, mostly.
Oh, I left it in my computer. Silly. That's good. Here it is. Let's have a look. I'll be able to tell you practically everything when I find it.
What's the answer to life? Everything.
42.
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure. You have that in that database? Or do you know that off the top of your head?
That's the calibration data. Let's have a look. Let's quickly update. Today is the 28th, indeed it is. So the average team member age is 27.79. The median is 23.11. And across team members themselves, the average age of the support team is 30. The average age of the
team
is 21. The average age of developers is 24.4. The average age of the moderators is 32.6. The average age of the team leaders is 24.9. And the average age of the stars team is 24.75.
So the support team and the moderator team have all the old guys.
The standard deviation in the support team is 12 years. And the standard deviation in the moderator team is 14 years. So...
Huh.
And we hire a new person approximately every 46.54 days.
See, Ashley Pitter could pass for the next data.
And okay,
in the next Star Trek movie where they're casting a data type character, I'm going to propose Ashley Pitter.
Excellent.
All right. Well, that about wraps up this show of PHBB Weekly. This short show.
Yes, short.
I don't really know how long it was. Actually, I can look.
90 minutes more.
No, no. We've been talking for...
Oh, wait.
No, that was because that was one hour and 20 minutes, so yeah, 59 minutes. I can close it down to the next 50 seconds and keep it under exactly 60 minutes. All right. Check out phpbbweekly.net. The PHPBB Weekly forum is at startrekguide.com, where you can discuss PHPBB Weekly topics, suggest topics for PHPBB Weekly, and suggest guests. And there's actually quite a few very, very interesting topics on the PHPBB Weekly forums. If you've not had a chance to check those out yet, you might want to do that. I was just looking through that yesterday, and I didn't even realize how many interesting topics are in that forum. Some of the most interesting ones are there. Again, the next episode is going to be July 5th at the usual time, Saturday, July 5th, 2:30 p.m. Eastern. No, that's the wrong episode. 1600 UTC, 12 p.m. Eastern. And once again, PHPBB Weekly is a member of the Tech Podcast Network. So, that's it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Ashley Penner, for joining me.
No problem.
No problem.
And I will talk to you all later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.